Read and hear more about important news, events, and public policy debates at ncnewsline.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Well, Super Tuesday is upon us, and that means it's primary election week in North Carolina and several other states, as voters go to the polls to choose major party nominees for president and a host of other important offices. And while the primary season has been rather subdued here, with few of the top contests looking especially close or competitive, this week's primary will be enormously impactful, especially in congressional districts where gerrymandering has already assured which party's candidate will win in November. And earlier this week, I got a chance to discuss where things stand in the presidential race, some of the controversies that have arisen, and some of the issues that will likely be front and center in the months to come with Catawba College political science professor Michael Bitzer.
Well, Dr. Michael Bitzer, welcome back to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, as always.
Incredibly busy time. It's one of the sweet spots in the annual political calendar. We've just had the South Carolina Republican primary where Donald Trump has another commanding win over the favorite daughter, Nikki Haley. She's not stepping aside, though. She says nearly 40% of the vote she received is not insignificant. What's your take on where things stand in the Republican primary?
Yeah, I think she is serving a purpose. If nothing else, she is the anti-Trump. There is a healthy bulk of Republican primary voters. Are they core Republican voters? Probably not. But if they're voting in the Republican primary, they are expressing their anti-Trumpism. And I think now with Nikki Haley being basically the last candidate standing that's not named Donald Trump, she is certainly galvanizing that kind of coalition together. I think you can also read into some of the exit poll questions, particularly ones that ask if Donald Trump is convicted of a crime, is he still fit for office? Was Joe Biden legitimately the winner of the 2020 election? There is a core set of Republican voters in all of these primary states so far that have really shown the anti-Trump wing of the Republican Party. Will that continue to hold throughout Super Tuesday, or are they just kind of accepting Trump's nomination? We'll have to wait and kind of see how this plays out.
Yeah, it does appear that she'll have some additional financial challenges. I gather that Americans for Prosperity, which is the Koch money, has sort of been pulled out. But then Trump's got some money problems of his own. He owes a lot of money in some court cases. I see where Lara Trump said maybe GOP voters would reimburse him for some of his legal fees. But both of them face some serious financial challenges that would appear going forward.
Oh, most definitely. And I think if anything dooms Haley's continued candidacy, it's going to be the money spigot. When the funds get cut off, that's generally when we tend to see the candidate kind of say, okay, I've run my course. I've done all that I can, and I'm out of money. I think for Donald Trump, you know, this whole money situation is going to present a huge challenge to him in terms of if he can't find a lender to support putting up a bond for this potential multi-million dollar judgment against him as it's being appealed, you know, does he have to forfeit one of his properties? Does he have to put up one of the buildings that has his name on it? Certainly the New York Attorney General has said, we're going to take a building, whether, you know, he puts the money up or what. So I think both candidates are facing these financial hurdles. Just one simply is really pressed for the personal dynamic rather than the campaign attribute of funding.
So Super Tuesday is almost here. Of course, North Carolina, one of several states that will be voting. It looks like we'll be having some modest injection of candidates. Trump's coming to North Carolina this week. Haley's coming. The vice president's coming. Obviously, President Biden faces challenges when it comes to enthusiasm for his reelection bid. Do you see any likelihood that that's going to receive any kind of injection of energy over Super Tuesday?
I think he's in there for the long haul. I think certainly, you know, the expectation is probably for North Carolina's general turnout rate on Tuesday, it's probably going to fall somewhere around 30%. We saw in 2020 with a competitive Democratic primary, but a not competitive Republican primary, that hit about 31%. In 2016, with both parties having a competitive primary, statewide turnout was about 36%. I don't think we'll hit there. But we're hitting some healthy numbers in terms of these early ballots that are coming in. And that could foreshadow, you know, maybe a sense of we could get 800,000 to maybe a million total ballots cast for Tuesday after all is said and done. That will probably be in the ballpark of what we're expecting. But certainly the candidates are making these rounds, doing the air flights in and out of the various states. And, you know, once Tuesday kind of settles into, I think we'll be in the dynamic of indeed a Biden-Trump reelection election phase for November.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Bitzer, who's one of North Carolina's best-known political scientists. He's the chair of the political science and professor of politics and history at Catawba College. Professor, I want to get to state stuff, but I want to ask one more question about Trump, because I continue to be just sort of amazed by it. In so many ways, Trump has really abandoned what were for so long core Republican principles when it came to foreign policy, certainly vis-a-vis Russia, with these rather remarkable statements recently, sort of like, Europe can do whatever it wants. Russia can do whatever the hell it wants. Is it only those core of people who are anti-Trump voters to whom this appeals? I'm sort of stunned that such a huge chunk of the Republican electorate would embrace such a an approach to foreign policy that to me seems really almost diametrically opposed to the policy that the party had espoused for decades.
Yeah, this is not the Reagan Republican Party. It is definitely the Trump Republican Party. And the value of NATO that we have seen, this historic alliance since the end of World War II, I have to remind folks, and I often tell my students, you know, there's something called Article 5 of NATO. And the philosophy is if there's an attack on one country in NATO, it is considered an attack on all 32 nations of NATO. And the only time that Article 5 has ever been invoked and utilized was following the September 11th, 2001 attacks on the United States. So NATO has served a core constituency and a core value of defense policy, not just for Republicans, but also for Democrats. But it was Ronald Reagan who really solidified NATO as a force against the then Soviet Union. And to see a Republican front runner, potential nominee come in and basically say, you know, if NATO countries don't pony up, Russia can do whatever they want. This is just simply not the national security foreign policy Republican Party that has been in existence for so long. It is definitely a new Trump Republican Party that espouses a foreign policy that many Republicans are just kind of shaking their head and saying, where has our party gone?
I mean, there are still establishment Republicans, even former President Bush, who you would think at some point perhaps they would speak up, but maybe not. It's a remarkable set of affairs. We're talking with Catawba College Professor Michael Bitzer about the upcoming primary, about the elections. North Carolina is having a primary in several races as well, of course, on March 5th, or the voting's already underway. One thing that's really caught a lot of people's eye recently is the race for attorney general, and particularly on the Democratic side, this phenomenon of a PAC, what by all appearances is a very conservative Republican PAC, coming in and spending huge sums on a candidate who herself had only raised a very small amount of money, is perceived as definitely being the more progressive of the attorney general candidates, Satana DeBerry, in her run against Congressman Jeff Jackson. Is this the new normal when it comes to primary elections and state and local politics?
Well, we've had the other side dipping and playing in the other side's sandbox for a long time. And if the other side sees an opportunity to perhaps promote what they would envision as a potentially weakened candidate for the general election, or somebody who is potentially outside of the mainstream of the general electorate come November, they will throw some resources into it. And I think it's certainly indicative of what we're seeing play out in this race. You know, we've also got two state house representatives who typically are much more moderate, who have voted with Republicans, have Republicans sent on their behalf flyers for reelection bids. It's all a game in terms of how this is getting played out. You know, it will be interesting to me to see how her percentage potentially lines up with somebody like Mike Morgan And is there enough of a kind of anti-establishment, more progressive form of Democratic Party politics that we're seeing in this primary that could send some signals about party cohesion, about the coalition that both parties have got to have to win in a state like North Carolina? There may be some tea leaves to read out of it, but usually by November, the parties tend to come together and their coalitions tend to hold.
One final question as we come to the end of our time with Dr. Michael Bitzer. There's some congressional races out there with just, it seems like, an amazing number of candidates. I guess the idea, though, and these are districts that are drawn to elect Republicans, if you get the nomination, you're pretty much guaranteed it. So this is a way for a person really to gain tremendous political prominence with a relatively small number of votes. I guess that's what we can expect in a handful of these Republican primaries.
I think certainly the 14 candidates in the 13th congressional district is just the latest example of this wide swath of people throwing their hat into the ring. You know, the question is always, does somebody get to 30%? That's the threshold in order to avoid a potential second primary or a runoff primary. But so many of these districts are drawn to favor one party over the other that this March 5th primary is really the general election for most of these particular districts. And when you have a voter turnout of 30% compared to something like in November, 70, potentially 75%, you know, it's a small number of people that will decide who potentially holds this seat, not just for this November, but for several election cycles going up to the next redistricting cycle following 2030.
30% of 30%, not quite so many votes. One thing we know is for sure that you'll be paying really close attention. We thank you so much. We know you're incredibly busy. You squeezed us into your schedule today. Please take care and enjoy the politics of the next few weeks, and we'll undoubtedly catch up later this spring.
Sounds great. Always good to be with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Coming up next, will North Carolina school children soon effectively lose their constitutional right to a sound basic education? We'll hear from an education expert who's very concerned. Don't go away.